My favourite line in that is, at his right hand stands one who bore my shame, yet he calls me friend and he knows my name. And that's the Lord Jesus, of course. And it's to him who we come. We're going to have a talk now about the songs of ascent. And as we asked, what is a song of ascents? It's the title of 15 of the Psalms, Psalms 120 to 134. They're called songs of ascent, which means, not surprisingly, going up, because Jerusalem is built on top of a large hill. And it also refers to the steps on the temple. And these 15 Psalms were traditionally sung by pilgrims as they made their annual pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. You can read the first verses of the Psalms, just the first verse in order, and it gives you a feel. In my distress, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Unto you I lift up my eyes, you who dwell in the heavens. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, nor do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. It's humility there. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. That's just going through the first verse of each of those 15 Psalms. They sort of tie together quite nicely. Why Jerusalem? Why did they have to go up to Jerusalem? What was it in Jerusalem that made them make the arduous journey there from all over, not Christendom, but or the civilized world then, from where they'd been scattered, where they dwelt in foreign lands and cities? It was the city. Jerusalem was the city where God had set his presence. He'd chosen Jerusalem. And within the city was the temple. And in the Old Testament, the temple was the place where you went to meet with God. If you wanted to speak to God or get right with him or obtain something from him, you went to the temple, you talked to the priests, you brought an offering. And it would be accepted. A very good example of that is Hannah, of course, who wanted a son so desperately. And she went to see Samuel at the tabernacle, as it then was, before the temple was built. She obtained from the Lord what she asked for. And when they come to the Lord, what happens? We are encouraged and lifted up. I'll read a couple of verses from Psalm 42. David's down in the dumps, whoever wrote this psalm. And yet, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. And here's this depressed man remembering times of joy and rejoicing when he went up to Jerusalem with the pilgrims. And then he goes on to say, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There's a man who's cast down, but he remembers the times he went up to Jerusalem and he's lifted up by it. Remember that Jesus is prophesied as the one who lifts the weary with a word. We come to him, we lift it up. Going to God's house puts us right. There's some verses from Psalm 73 about a man who's disgruntled. He's lost all his gruntle. He's disgruntled. Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the wicked when I saw, I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then in verse 16, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. And verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My heart, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So here was a man who was embittered in soul when he saw how the wicked getting on so much better than he seemed to be. And he couldn't understand it until he went to the sanctuary of God. That refers to the temple where the presence of God was. And then in the presence of God, he understood that there are eternal matters, that God is bigger than this world, that their eternity matters, and what he has in his heart will last for eternity. There's forgiveness and restoration in the presence of God in Psalm 130, which is one of those songs of ascent. Psalm 130, out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. And then verse 7 and 8, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. There is deliverance, Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us alive. But then verse 6, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. There, deliverance from tricky, sticky situations. And there is help. Psalm 121, which we read earlier. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So that as these pilgrims were going up towards Jerusalem, they were thinking about all these things and declaring them as they spoke those psalms. There was an encouragement, being lifted up, being put right if you're embittered in heart. There's forgiveness and restoration, deliverance and help. Now, how does this apply to us today? Obviously, we are not Jews. We're not living in ancient Jerusalem or the surrounding nations around Israel. We don't have to make that thrice annually pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And the earthly Jerusalem, which is geographically in Israel, was the city God had chosen where he would dwell with his physical people, Israel, the nation he had chosen. And in Jerusalem was the tent or the tabernacle, which was the temporary place where God's presence could be found, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, and later the temple. And this was the place where people could come and make contact with God. But we do have a temple. I don't know if you knew that. We do have a temple that was not made with human hands. And I'm going to read some verses from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 9 explains what the temple was all about. I've been interrupted by a cat. Sorry about that. Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 11 to 12. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, that's referring to the tent or the temporary place where God dwelt before the temple was built. But then through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, human hands, that is not of this creation. And he's talking there about a temple in heaven. He entered once for all into the holy place, not by the means of blood and goats and calves, the animal sacrifices they had to make, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. And it's clear from this passage that there is a temple in heaven, which is of which the earthly temple was merely a pattern to help us understand how the temple in heaven works. And the heavenly temple is where we come by faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the offering that Jesus made of his own blood into the holy presence of God our Father. And this is what happens when we pray. When we pray, our physical bodies remain seated in our chairs or on our knees, wherever we happen to be when we are praying. But our spirits are entering into that heavenly temple. And then some more verses from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Turning back a few pages in Hebrews chapter 4. Since then, we have a great high priest, that's the Lord Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that is what happens when we pray. In our spirits come into God's heavenly temple. We are granted access because we're made righteous by the blood of Jesus. We're born again, and God's spirit within us draws us. And we're told to come near to God with confidence to that throne of grace. That refers to the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, where God's presence was visibly manifest, and where that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need, whatever our need is, as we draw near to God, as we come into his holy presence. That's where our prayers are answered, when we make our requests to God there. And that's the time when we enjoy that sweet, close fellowship with God too, knowing that there's nothing that separates us from him. That's our own pilgrimage. Every day on our knees or sitting in a chair, however we pray, we come into God's holy temple and receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.